And welcome one and all to Rutcast episode 10. Sweet, sweet 10 episodes into our lovely little baby's lifespan. So, we decided to make it extra special by waiting one whole month, pretty much. I think it's been about a month since Rutcast 9. To bring you our first ever Rockfest Music Award results.
Awesome.
During a special 1 hour episode of Rockcast. So this is really just a delightful goodie bag of Rockcast is what this episode's going to be. So we're going to bring you an hour long show full of your usual news and critiques and all that badass shit. And also the results for the awards that you voted for or should have if you didn't.
Yeah, sure.
So all that out of the way, I'm going to go ahead and announce our first award. This award was, of course, for Hit of the Year, which basically the criteria for said award is any kind of single that a band released in the year of 2008, which got them enormous amounts of attention or was just really goddamn good. And our nominees for this award were as follows: Bad Girlfriend by Theory of a Dead Man off their Scars and Souvenirs CD, Hell Yeah by Rev Theory, which you're listening to right now, off their Light It Up CD. We have Rise Above This by Seether, coming off last year's CD, Finding Beauty in Negative Spaces. Feel Good Drag by Amber Lynn, a remake of a song that they did a couple years ago on their new album, New Surrender. And Addicted by Saving Abel, the newest sex-ridden craze.
So much cocker.
Riding across the nation. So, that in mind, you voted for the results. At Runner Up is the song you're listening to right now, Hell Yeah, which garnered a solid 21% of the vote. And garnering 32% of the vote, which, and this would have been my second choice, I believe, because I agree with you, Hell Yeah, I should have won it. But with 32% of the vote and winning the first ever Hit of the Year award is Bad Girlfriend by Theory of a Dead Man.
Y'all are a bunch of cock rock loving bastards.
Well, yes. Well, it helps when there's two songs nominated for it. So, Bad Girlfriend wins Hit of the Year. Apparently we both just agreed that we would have gone for Hell Yeah.
Yeah.
We both voted for it. I assume you did.
Yeah.
You know, it might help that we have the perspective of had hearing both live, maybe. Maybe that helps things.
Maybe. I don't know, though.
Hell Yeah is a really good live experience,
oh,
I mean, for the record. I don't know if that tilted us one way or the other in our minds, but it's a great song to hear live. But I think Bad Girlfriend's a really solid second choice. Like, either way, I think both bands have two singles really to be proud of here, and Theory of a Dead Man's really gotten over with Bad Girlfriend. Like, everyone knows who they are now, which is really good for them, because they've deserved that attention for a while. And Rev Theory's getting their name out there with Hell Yeah anyway, and they've got a couple promising singles in that album still, so.
I think I'm just saying your hatred for cock rock.
Yeah, your hatred for cock rock is
oh, man.
Yeah. But hey, we didn't nominate Hinder for, like, anything, so.
Good. Good.
Hinder or Buck Cherry, the two big cock rock acts this year, did not get nominated for Jack. Buck Cherry deservingly so. Hinder, we're going to argue about that. So, that in mind, we don't want to stray too far from the Rockcast formula, so before we announce a couple more award results, we're going to do our usual run of the Billboard charts, and it's not promising this week.
Damn it.
Obviously, Fall Out Boy, All American Rejects, and Saliva pulled the trifecta about a week ago. But, you know, that week's in the books now, and there's no more rock acts coming out for at least a couple more weeks, to my knowledge. So, this week was not pretty. At number one is Taylor Swift with Fearless. Number two is Keisha Cole with A Different Me. Number three is Jamie Foxx with Intuition. Number four is Britney Spears with Circus. And number five is Beyonce with I Am Sasha Fierce.
These are albums?
Yes. Okay. Then the first rock act is at number six, which is the Dark Horse album by Nickelback, Joy to the World. Yeah, that was nominated for Disappointment of the Year, and rightfully so. At least I say this as the guy who reviewed it, gave it a solid 3.5, something horrible. It's really not a good CD, like, at all. Number seven is the Twilight soundtrack.
Why?
Which features a couple rock acts, mind you.
Why is that so high?
Paramore.
I don't care. Why is it so high?
Paramore, I would wager.
Damn it.
And then two rock acts in a row, you've got Fall Out Boy's new album, Folie à Deux, peaking at number 8 on the chart in its first week aboard. Number 9 is AC/DC's latest endeavor, Black Ice. And at number 10, the ever-popular Now That's What I Call Music, Edition 29.
Why are these still being made?
Because they're that's what you call music.
No, that's not what I call music. The world is a bunch of dumbasses.
To check the peaks of some of the other big rock acts, I believe All American Rejects hit number 15 in its first week on the charts. Woo. With When the World Comes Down. David Cook is also at number 13 with his CD, which came out in early October, November.
Leave a light on.
I don't know where Saliva peaked, ended up. Hopefully at about 1,279, because let me tell you, those are the sales numbers it deserves. I don't know how much you've listened to this album.
This putrid pile of flaming shit.
And there are probably millions of better metaphors out there to describe this album than the one we just concocted, but by God, it's horrible. Like, I say this as a big fan of Saliva for the first couple years. I still love Back Into Your System. I think it's a great album. Always is a fantastic song. We've discussed that, I think. But, man, this album. Like I just... It kills me.
Does it fill you with an uncontrollable rage?
Yes, it makes me want to just throw this microphone across the room and through a television.
No, don't do it. I'm fairly certain you need the microphone and the television.
Yeah, both would be nice to be keeping those in my life. Essentially, though, let me break it down for you, kids. Uncle Andrew's going to tell you a story.
You're an uncle now?
I'm an uncle,
I think I'm happy with you.
I like Saliva, or did, I guess. I don't know if I like them anymore, but I've liked what they've done in the past. This new album of theirs, Cinco Diablo, just the name alone, it's cringe-worthy at this point, is 10 tracks of very, very little worth hearing. And I say very, very, very worth little because there is one song, I don't even remember its name, that's how bad this is. I don't even remember the most promising part of the album. It's about halfway through, it's a slower track. The melody is pretty good, but the lyrics are not. That's the best part of the album, is this one song in the middle has a pretty good melody. Like a tune that on an earlier Saliva album they totally would not have fucked up.
Cookie just tried to kill me.
That's good. That's what they're there for. So the review is not up on the site yet. It's going to be there soon, but let me give you a heads up on this. It's going to be probably about a 1 out of 10. Honest to God, it's putrid. I can't stand almost anything about it. And if you don't think it deserves a 1, listen to it and drop a second opinion on it. But
I think it deserves a 1.2.
Fine, 1.2, whatever. I'll throw a 0.2 on there. But seriously, God, this album, it's horrifying. So let's talk about some of the other new albums while we get a couple more minutes to kill before our next award, because you've listened to both Fall Out Boy and All American Rejects by now.
Yep.
Which one do we want to hit first?
My stance still... fans that Fall Out Boy is not a great band at all.
If this were the first album I'd ever heard of them, I'd agree with you on that. I still like a lot of their older stuff, but
it's too pop funky.
It is. It's Fall Out Boy being very poppy, and I would say at their best, but it's not their best. Like, yeah. You are at the point where you're like Fall Out Boy. It's all kind of the same,
yeah.
You know. But as someone who's liked previous Fall Out Boy albums, I can kind of distinguish where they're good and where they're not good. And this album, it's very, very hit or miss.
Yeah.
And the reviews on the site, again, if you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. But essentially, some of the songs are really promising, very, very good stuff. Sounds like sometimes really vintage Fall Out Boy. Like there's a couple songs on there that are very reminiscent of like earlier stuff from Take This to Your Grave, like Grand Theft Autumn type songs, which is kind of refreshing.
Grand Theft Autumn.
Yeah, and then there's, of course, songs that sound like From Under the Cork Tree or Infinity on High, some of the newer stuff. Yeah, it wasn't that great either. From Under the Cork Tree is probably the last CD by Fall Out Boy I could really get into. But, you know, and every song on the CD seems like it has elements of some of their previous stuff, but a lot of the ones that do pull from some of the previous songs seem to lack what made those songs catchy and fun in the first place.
Yeah.
This album doesn't seem to have quite the hook that past Fall Out Boy albums have been known for.
Did I tell you my story about Dance Dance?
You totally should.
Okay, like a week and a half ago, I was in the car and Dance Dance came on, and it got stuck in my head. For the longest any song has ever been stuck in my head, it was 6.5 days. And what finally got it out of my head was Sugar, We're Going Down. For 2.5 more days.
weren't you hooked on I Don't Care for a couple days too?
Yeah, like
that was after Sugar, We're Going Down.
You just went through this kind of Fall Out Boy phase for a week or two.
I did.
It happens to everyone. Like, even the people who don't like Fall Out Boy, I think, have had a Fall Out Boy song stuck in their head. It just happens. There's those bands that you hate that get stuff stuck in your head. Or for, in our case, just mainstream radio in general will get, like, Make It Rain, or...
I kissed a girl
stuck in our heads. Then we hate ourselves for it, because we're sitting there listening to Lil Wayne instead of some promising new rock act. And then he hit the flow. So, Fall Out Boy... Fall Out Boy, we've determined, is largely mediocre. If you're a big Fall Out Boy fan, go ahead and pick it up, because as a Fall Out Boy fan, I still think it's got its merits.
I do like its cover.
Yeah, the cover's kind of fun. The bears.
The bears.
And, I mentioned in the final wrap-up of the review that it can catch on you after you've listened to it a couple times through. Like, just some of the even not-so-great songs will start to get in your head, so... If you're a diehard Fall Out Boy fan, pick it up, listen to it a couple times through, get attached to it. But it's certainly not their best work. Patrick Stump sounds really good on it, though. One of the biggest redeeming factors of the album is that I think he sounds as good as he's ever sounded. His vocals are very, very good on the album. We'll jump to All American Rejects here in a second. It's time for our next Rockfist Music Award 2008. This one is for Surprise of the Year, which goes to any kind of particular event, an album release, whatever, that just surprised the music-loving public.
Yeah.
And the results are not shocking, but I should go over the nominees anyway, for those of you uninformed.
You'll be able to call it as soon as you read.
The Surprise of the Year nominees are, first off, Guns N' Roses releases the long-awaited Chinese Democracy album, 14 years in the making, finally happens. Linkin Park begins recording a concept album.
Woo!
The Stone Temple Pilots reunite, also causing the destruction of Velvet Revolver.
Yeah.
Framing Hanley, a Memphis, Tennessee band, does a cover of Lil Wayne's Lollipop to great success. And the collection of Nightmare Before Christmas covers, Nightmare Revisited, is actually very good. Those are your Surprise of the Year candidates. The runner-up is the Linkin Park concept album, gathering 20% of the vote. And... to no one's surprise, the surprise of the year is the release of Chinese Democracy, garnering 58% of the vote.
You guys are dickheads.
As much as you love Linkin Park, I don't think it can really be denied that Guns N' Roses releasing Chinese Democracy was not a surprise.
What a such a crap album.
I love this album. I'm not going to lie to you, I've really gotten attached to Chinese Democracy. And if we don't get a review on the site soon, I'm gonna write it because I really think it's a pretty good album. There's gonna be people on both sides of the fence about it. It's not Appetite for Destruction. No, it's not. But I don't think it's not Appetite in like it's not good way. I just think it's a different style than Appetite. You have to think it's like a different band. It's not really the GNR you know anymore. This ain't your daddy's GNR.
This is the Trent Reznor
DMC. Yeah, that kind of thing. So. Chinese Democracy wins Surprise of the Year. Congratulations, Axl Rose, another award for your mantle.
Another.
Probably the only one you'll win for this CD, no offense.
Probably.
You can enjoy your imaginary Rockfist Award.
Yes.
Someday we'll get trophies made up. We'll mail one to you.
We'll mail you a piece of paper that says Rockfist Award.
It's a good idea.
We'll put flowers in stars
on it. So we'll move to the other big December release that popped out. We've talked about Saliva, we've talked about Fall Out Boy. Let's chat about our good little friends that are all sorts of American, but also rejected. The All American Rejects.
That was terrible.
I know, it was horrible. I know you have a cookie in your mouth, but what are your impressions of the album?
Cookie.
That's fascinating. What are your impressions of the album?
Usually I don't like that sort of genre. The, ballad-esque pop punk type thing.
Right.
But it's catchy. I don't like it the first time I went through because I only heard a few songs that stuck out.
Yeah, there's only a few that really pop at you.
Yeah. But after that, you're Another Heart Calls or whatever it is. And the one they did with the Pierces. I didn't actually like that song until the third time I listened to it.
Yeah. It didn't catch me at all the first time I listened to the album. The only thing I noticed was there's a chick singing this song.
Yeah.
Either that or Tyson's voice got really, really high.
Oh, God.
he's talking about track 7 on the album, Another Heart Calls, which is, it starts out very ballady. It gets really fast-paced by the end. It's kind of cool. It's a very progressive song. But it's a duet of sorts with this band called The Pierces.
They're no one.
It's not really a duet because they're two females, but it's a tree at. There's a word for it somewhere, I'd imagine.
A triad?
Sure. After I listened to it a couple times, I decided it was a really, really good song, and it actually ended up nominated for our Song of the Year because I loved it so much.
Did it?
Yes, it did.
Oh, I didn't know.
Way to pay attention.
Okay.
It didn't get, like, any votes.
Yeah, I paid.
I gather because, A, people haven't listened to it enough, or B, because our other nominees were just too damn good.
It's true.
Because they really were. it's a simple album, and I read in an interview on, I think, Ultimate Guitar before the album came out, that they really wanted to strip down this album. Like, Move Along was very, very driven by their guitars and their catchy beats and whatever, and they kind of wanted to prove that they weren't the kind of band that just relies on the big hooks and whatever, so they basically really stripped everything down on this album, and you can really tell that when you listen to some of the tracks.
Yeah.
Like, Gives You Hell is not your typical All-American Rejects single. It's very, very basic.
It's an anthem.
Yeah, but it gets caught in your head.
It does.
It does. It does. The first song, I Wanna, is very, very catchy.
A great song.
Very, very catchy.
The odd part is that song is such cock rock, but I think it's so awesome.
Yeah. I think it's just because it's kind of cute coming from them. Like, they're not a cock rock band, but just them doing it, it's kind of like, it's really funny.
It's like, it's cute. It's like when you hear, like, a 5-year-old cuss.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want them to do it again, but it's cute to hear once in a
while.
Yeah.
Just every... Well, that's actually a really good little analogy there. I like that. It's like hearing a 5-year-old swear. You don't want it to happen very often, but on the occasion that it does, it's very, very funny. I Wanna is a really cool song. Most of the first couple tracks, I think, are really good. From there on, the album kind of slows down a little bit, and those are the songs that'll take a while to really get you.
Especially that, like, the last... or three.
Yeah, but it pays off when it does, because the whole album starts sounding really good once you get the hang of it, and it feels like a very good album. I'm not sure if it's as good as Move Along was, but, I mean, they kind of feel like different albums, like, entirely.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same band, and I like that. I like it when bands experiment a little and start playing around with some other stuff. It kind of proves all the haters that All American Rejects isn't just one of those, like, little pop bands that just writes hit singles and does the same thing over and over and over and over. They're expanding and they're learning their craft.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I like the new All American Rejects album for the most part. It's definitely worth a try. Even if you don't like them, I'd listen to it because it is very different for them. What was that? Indubitably. Okay, we're going to hit another one of our many awards. This one is the disappointment of the year. Oh,
before we do this,
hit me.
Did you ever watch the AAR cover of Womanizer?
I did.
Such a shitty cover. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You hate it so much.
They weren't taking it seriously.
That goddamn what is it called? I should know this because it was a big part of the book I just read. That what? Son of a bitch! What is it called? Organ type thing where he like pulled it apart and squeezed it.
Oh, the accordion?
Accordion!
Yeah.
That annoyed the hell out of me.
Yeah, the All American Rejects recently did a cover of Britney Spears' Womanizer for Yahoo, I think.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's so very not good. But
I do think it's funny when they all yell Womanizer.
Yeah. It's really funny. Like, it's not a good song by any means, but it's a very funny watch. I'd recommend it. Just watch it once.
Just
probably never again. But yeah, our next category is disappointment of the year, which is kind of like surprise of the year, but the opposite. Like, with surprise of the year, it's like, oh, this happened. With disappointment of the year, it's kind of like, oh, this happened.
Inflection is all what it's about.
It's all about how you say it.
Yeah.
So our nominees for disappointment of the year start with Nickelback and Dark Horse just being an utterly terrible album. Mudvayne's The New Game also being an utterly mediocre album. Not terrible, but below their standards.
Clearly.
City Sleeps losing their vocalist and bassist. Which is, it's just really sad because they're a good band. And it probably means the end of them. So yeah, that's a big disappointment. Breaking Benjamin delaying their album until 2009.
What
which,
a kick somebody.
Which totally breaks their record of putting out an album every 2 years. But if they're doing it for the sake of quality, I appreciate it. Because the better the album, the more okay I am with the wait. I'm talking to you, Our Lady Peace.
Is it just me, or was Phobia just didn't...
I like Phobia.
It didn't feel right.
But we'll get to it in a second.
Okay, okay.
Because I assure you, we'll get to it. And the fifth nominee is the immense amount of lag broadcast is typically
personally, I
putting
think
up
that
with.
Was
yeah.
Bullshit.
I just don't think enough people care. So, with 17% of the vote, the runner-up for this category is Nickelback's Dark Horse, which I agree with, because I think All the Right Reasons was really good, and then Dark Horse came along, and it was just like, hey, I'm shit. But with an astounding 53% of the vote, I had no idea we had this many devout loyalists to this band, but the Disappointment of the Year winner will be going on Benjamin Burnley's mantle, because it goes to Breaking Benjamin and the delay of their new album. So, you win Disappointment of the Year, Breaking Benjamin. I hope you're happy
Bastards.
About that.
goddamn album.
Which serves as a nice segue into the Breaking Benjamin topic. Phobia. Discuss.
Like I said earlier, it just didn't feel right to me. Like, We Are Not Alone was a fantastic
We scene. Are Not Alone is a work of art.
Oh, I don't even know how to
We are not alone.
No, yes, I do know how to describe it.
Go for it.
I jizzed in my pants.
Nice. Everyone who's listening to this and hasn't yet, go to YouTube and Google jizz in my pants. I swear
this.
It's worth
we'll
it.
Wait. Pause,
pause it. We'll wait. Yeah. We'll just wait here. Did you enjoy that? We waited. Anyway.
Yeah, I did.
So, We Are Not Alone was, I think it's a really, really good album from the standpoint of what it is, which is basically... Most of the really good albums that come out nowadays are very creative, or they have, like, a good flow to them, have, like, a nice mixture of slow songs and heavy songs.
Yeah.
We Are Not Alone is basically just a really, really good hard rock album. With
yeah.
the exception of Forget It and Rain, it's basically nonstop headbang heaven. And I think that's really good, because there's just simply not enough albums that really do it and do it right. Because what you have to do when you do something like that is you have to make every song sound unique.
Yeah.
But yet they all kind of just fit together. And Breaking Benjamin did a really good job at that. Phobia was kind of a different animal because it kind of went towards the aforementioned nice mix of heavy ballad kind
yeah,
of thing.
It's softer.
Which I really appreciate. And I don't think Phobia was better than We Are Not Alone, but I certainly think it's like on par with Breaking Benjamin's
yeah.
work. It's certainly not really a disappointment to me or anything.
Where would you rank it next to Saturate?
I think it's better than Saturate, but I think Saturate is just a little too rough around the edges for my taste.
Well,
and
see, like I said before, I like that.
Yeah.
I'd probably put Phobia like right next to it. Like,
yeah.
Saturate.
I think they kind of belong on like an equal level in terms of just straight up musicianship, but for me, production plays a big part there.
Yeah.
Phobia just sounds a lot cleaner and better. And the band's just kind of evolved a bit since then, so, you know, they're a little better at certain things. Ben sounds a little better when he's singing. I really like a lot of the songs in Phobia, too. Like, You Fight Me is a really, really interesting song.
That entire album. There are, like, two songs that I listen to still off of. Diary of Jane and Evil Angel.
Those are really good ones, too. I don't know, though. I mean, because I fell in love with Breath the first time I listened to that album, and I still listen to that one a lot.
Yeah.
I also still really enjoy Dance with the Devil, I think is a really good one.
See, that one, I went through a phase. Like, it used to be three I listened to. And then Dance with the Devil just kind of fell off.
Yeah.
I don't know why, it just kind of...
But I kind of see your point, though. I mean, because when I think of Breaking Benjamin songs that I, like, religiously listen to, not a lot of them seem to come off of Phobia. It seems to be an album better experienced together, like when you just listen to it all at once. But, like, I never, like, have an urge to go out and listen to Unknown Soldier or You. I think You was a really weak track off that album, for the record. One other I did really enjoy was Had Enough. I really got into for a while. But yeah, I kind of agree from the standpoint that Phobia is not as strong as We Are Not Alone. But again, if Breaking Benjamin keeps putting out albums like Phobia, I'm never going to like hate them over it, because it's still a really good album, top to bottom. So, I mean, as long as they can kind of just continue doing stuff like We Are Not Alone or Phobia, I don't really care. Even do Saturate again, just whatever. Give me stuff.
Give me something.
There is a reason Breaking Benjamin is my second favorite band. I mean... I love everything they've put out. I've got some B-sides off those guys that are just really good. I don't think there's a single song they've made that I've ever not enjoyed.
Have I told you the school bus story about Blow Me Away?
I love your stories. Give me some more.
Awesome. Okay, so this was... I want to say sophomore day. Sophomore year, because that's when I rode the bus. Anyway, second semester, and it was the morning, and I was on the bus. I was listening to my iPod. and Blow Me Away came on. You know how it starts out with piano intro.
Yeah.
Like really hardcore.
The crazy halo noises.
So I was just like sitting there like doing this, bobbing my head and stuff. And then usually when it does, I do like that, but I didn't realize how close I was to the seat in front of me.
That was a little headbang he just did, since you can't get the visual.
Well, that's why I said bobbing my head.
Well, yeah, were just like bobbing my head, and then you were like, and then I did this! And I'm like, I should clarify what this is. It's a bigger headbang.
Usually I do a full-blown headbang.
He kind of like just goes into the song.
But this morning, I guess I was tired, and I didn't realize how close I was to the seat in front of me. So, imagine my hand is the metal bar beneath the seat. And I just go, like that, and I scream in pain. And there's a tiny little cut right there on my forehead because I hit it so hard.
That's how powerful of a song it is.
Yes.
It commands you to pain yourself.
I'm in it now.
That's pretty fantastic. Okay, so, conclusion here being that Breaking Benjamin's a really good band, and we, of course, are disappointed that their album got pushed back, but at the same time, eagerly anticipate it.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next award, and this one is, if anything, just a complete joke. This is the Bats Award.
Yes!
And I gave it the term Bats because I felt like it was the kind of award that needed its own unique name. Bats stands for Bad Album That Sucks. And I think in the future we may have more than one nomination for this, especially with the revelation of Saliva's album being absolutely abysmal. But because they sent us hate messages, I think, originally, it was kind of cute. Our first ever comments were hate messages from Scissors for Lefty fans.
So delicious.
We are proud! No, wait. You give away the Bats Award. Give away the Bats Award.
Okay, hold on. I can see it.
He's going to stand up for this one.
No, well, I have to see the screen, too. Oh,
okay.
Which one actually won? Because there's two of them.
Well, the only other option was you can vote for this, but it won't save them.
Yeah, okay.
So, I didn't even record the results for it. It's just, you know who won.
Okay.
With 100% of the vote, essentially.
Yeah. With 100% of the vote, we here at Rock Fist Music would like to present the Bats Award to Scissors for Lefty. The people in this band deserve to be bitch smacked so hard that their cocks fall off. It is such a terrible, terrible piece of... I'm not even going to call it music, because it's not. It's... Sweet God, I want to kill myself. I need a cookie.
And I think it's really funny, because I've actually been inquired by a couple of followers of this band, like, why do you hate Scissors for Lefty so much? And I'm like, you know, it's not so much me.
It's me.
I think it's just I've more or less been influenced into this. Kind of been bullied into a corner by my cohort here, who just...
This band sucks so bad.
I certainly have no love lost for them, because I've heard enough to know that
they're
not my thing.
Good.
But...
I think what irks me the most about them is that it's not that they don't know that their music is bad. I'm fairly certain that they know that their music isn't top grade, but I'm sure they're proud of it. It's more the fact that their singer is a douche. I don't know the guy personally, and I'm judging him purely off of what I've read and how he sounds when he sings. He's a douche.
I just think your hatred for this band is just so funny.
It runs so deep in my veins.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Scissors for Lefty. The album is called Underhanded Romance, for those morbidly curious. We are proud to present you the Bats Award, Rock Fist Music 2008. I think the Bats Award is going to be like a brick.
Yeah. with the band's name written on it in like permanent marker.
Yeah. It'll say Bats on the side.
Yeah.
And then just on the top of it will like write the band's name.
Totally.
Seems like a good idea to me. And then we don't mail it to them, we just throw it through their window.
Exactly.
What is this? Oh, it's the Bats Award?
You guys are weird.
What in the world is this? So let's just go ahead and move on to the next award. Make a little jump here, because there's not a lot to talk about on the Scissors for Lefty front.
I just don't want to talk about them anymore.
Next we'll move on to Song of the Year, which is unlike Hit of the Year in the sense that we nominated these songs based on just how very good they are, whether it be from a songwriting perspective, a catchiness perspective, you know, whatever. Just that this song...
They have to be single.
this song is extraordinary, and it doesn't have to be a single. It can be any random song off any random album, even if it's a Scissors for Lefty song. It was like the one song on the album that we just thought was beautiful, then we could have nominated that.
He's gone.
We did not, mind you, but
I would not have allowed it, just so you know.
Here are the nominees for Song of the Year 2008. Another Heart Calls by the All American Rejects, featuring the Pierces, off of their album When the World Comes Down. Hell Yeah by Rev Theory, off the album Light It Up. Again, it was also nominated for Single of the Year. It's clear that we wanted this.
Clearly.
It's clear that we loved this song because we nominated it for two things.
And actually, were you the one that told me that it hit number one on mainstream rock radio in Kansas City first?
Yeah. Kansas City was the first demographic that nailed Hell Yeah at number one, so we're very proud of that.
We're awesome.
We love it here in Kansas City. Number three on the nomination list is Permanent by David Cook, and the story behind this song is it's probably the most emotional song I've heard all year. It's a song about his brother who has cancer, and there was a lot of publicity about that during the American Idol, whatever. Yeah. But I'm really glad that you wrote a song about it for the album. It's a very, very beautiful, very powerful song, so... I think maybe, a little bit. I actually did tear up, like, the first time I really listened to it, if you want me to be honest. Second Chance by Shinedown is the next choice on the ballot. Just a very, very exquisite song off a very, very exquisite album.
Oh, so many good songs.
Yeah, we actually tried to nominate two other songs off this album before we both agreed to just nominate this one instead. So if that's your idea of how difficult it was, we felt that Shinedown deserved a nomination, just didn't know which one.
It was hard.
So Second Chance got the nod there, and then the final nominee for Song of the Year is So Long Goodbye.
Which is a great song.
A very enchantingly beautiful, again, emotionally charged song by 10 Years off their album Division.
Did we specify the rock version or the other one?
We just nominated the normal version, okay. And that's the one I included on our back playlist right now.
I still like the first one better.
It's all kind of in taste. Like, I like the rock mix better just because I kind of like a little charge, but... both versions are very, very good. It's just a very, very well-written song. So, with that in mind, we're proud to announce the Song of the Year. While we announce this, we're actually listening to one of the nominees, Permanent by David Cook. With 30% of the vote, the runner-up for Song of the Year is So Long Goodbye by 10 Years. It built a very nice fan base based on the greatness of that album.
Yeah.
And with a solid half the vote, exactly half, 50%, Shinedown wins the Song of the Year for Second Chance. So, Shinedown, congratulations on your first RMA.
Another award for you guys?
Oh, no. It's just the first one.
Just the first one.
Is there more to come? I don't know.
Well, no. I'm referring to the other gargantuan amounts of awards bound to get for
So, yeah, Song of the Year goes to Shinedown for Second Chance. Listen to the song. Actually, listen to all five nominees, I'd recommend, because they're all very good songs in their own right. Most of them are very emotional songs, actually. Hell Yeah being the real standout there. Like, it's
the only one that's not really...
Ah!
Well, I mean, if you think about it, that song makes you want to kill somebody, so...
Or just, you know, street race.
Yeah, that too. Which reminds me, have you heard about the Fast and Furious movie?
Is there another one?
There's another one, but it's the original cast. It's a true sequel.
So they got, like, Vin Diesel back?
Did you know
Vin Diesel's gay? I just found that out.
For some reason, that doesn't surprise me.
It really surprised me. I'm like, he's the most manly dude I've ever seen.
It's always the manly ones that do it, though.
Yeah. Okay. Moving off random pop culture.
Anyway,
Fast and the Furious. Second Chance by Shinedown wins Song of the Year. Hell Yeah. A very deserving third place or whatever it was. I didn't record further than runner-up. Yeah. Runner-up.
Runner-up.
It got enough acclaim. Rev Theory got nominated for a lot of shit on this ballad, so...
That's true. We love them as much as we love Shine.
Yeah, I really like Rev Theory. I have their autographs.
I have their...
Before they got Ricky Licks, though, which kind of sucks. Because they used to be a four-piece, and then they got Ricky, and now they're a five-piece.
Yeah.
So I think next time I see him in concert, I'm just going to grab that piece of paper and just have him sign it.
Yeah, just be like,
I need you to complete this.
This is not done yet.
And what's really funny is I saw them when they were Revelation Theory... But everyone always shortened it anyway, so it's actually signed Ref Theory, so...
Nice.
It's like I could have gotten it last week, and just forgot to get it signed by Ricky.
Good time.
Yeah, so... But Ref Theory's very good. Let's talk about them for a bit, because I don't think we've ever really talked about Ref Theory. I think we've praised Hell Yeah a number of occasions, but
so many times.
Light It Up in general is an album that I think really needs.
They put on a badass live show.
Yeah, Rev Theory is a really good live band.
Rich is the guy to go gay for. All right,
yeah, yeah,
ripped.
Yeah, we both saw Rev Theory this summer at Rockfest here in Kansas City, and I'd seen them before again when I got the autograph, so I knew that they were a killer live band. That's actually pretty much what turned me on them in the first place, is when I saw them live.
Yeah.
But they're definitely probably my favorite live act that I've seen. I just really love the energy they bring. I'm horribly turned on by electrifying frontmen, you know. Just not like in a sexual way, but like in a musical sense. Like if there's a lead singer that's just all over the stage, really getting involved with the crowd, that is a big part of the live performance to me. And Rich of Rev Theory is exactly that kind of guy. He's everywhere on the stage, all the time. He's always
he's
encouraging.
Yeah,
he encourages crowd performance. Like, he really gets everyone revved up for the song for Hell Yeah.
For example, imagine about 30,000 fists in the air when they're playing that song.
Yeah, when they're doing the hey 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 part. That's that's when really. But you know, that entire song is just made for a live audience.
Oh,
like when we were there, everyone was into that song. Like,
exactly.
I'd imagine even people who hadn't heard it were like, "This is fucking crazy."
Yeah. I just wanted to know. I'm pretty sure I got hit in that back of the head with three people that were crowd surfing.
Yeah, it was intense. I made sure I was front row for it because I wanted to be like right there for Hell Yeah, throwing people over the railing to the security guys for the crowd surfing. It's great. That's a great thing to do. But aside from Hell Yeah, Rev Theory puts on a great live act, and their new CD Light It Up, which isn't so new anymore, came out in June.
Yeah.
But it's newer. It's
a great CD.
Yeah, it's only 10 tracks, I think, is the biggest weakness of the CD is its length. And I love it when that's the worst thing wrong with the CD, is like, there's just not enough.
I need more!
But other than that, really, every track on the album is exquisite, like, in its own way. There's the really electrifying songs like Hell Yeah, Wanted Man, Light It Up.
Light It Up. Have you seen that video?
I still haven't.
Dude!
I keep forgetting.
Oh my god. Not only are there half-naked women, they're half-naked women.
Not only!
There are so many things in this video.
But not only are there really high-octane stuff, but then there's three slower songs in the album. Yeah, there's Broken Bones, 10 Years, what's the closer?
I don't even
Far From Over. Thank you for not helping
for not
me at all.
Helping at all.
Thank you for all that usefulness. No, actually, there's four, really, because you're the one. No, actually, if anything, I'd say Far From Over is probably faster paced than You're the One. You're the One's very ballady.
Yeah.
Either way, there's three to four borderline ballads on there.
That are delicious.
But those are all very good. It's really nice, because on their first CD, Truth is Currency, there was only one at the very end called Over the Line, and it showed a lot of potential for a nice slow song. No, Slow Burns. Well, I mean, it's a little slower than some of their other stuff, just in like the pacing of it.
Yeah,
but it's
still,
definitely intense, especially when it like hits the bridge and he's practically screaming at you. So I would actually recommend picking up both Rev Theory CDs. The first one is under the name Revelation Theory, but they should be sorted into the same place. The latest one is Light It Up. The one before it is Truth is Currency. Truth is Currency is a little rougher, much more just straight up hard rock. Light It Up is more or less catchy, really kind of anthem rock. I mean, just stuff that's supposed to get driven into your skull. But they're both very, very, very good albums, and listen to them both enough so that you know all the words live. And
so
you see them when you see them, it makes the live show even better,
as
if it's possible.
There's like two songs that they play that I had no idea what they played on.
Yeah, they mostly stuck to the new ones, which kind of pissed me off because I knew all the old ones. So,
because
Light It Up hadn't come out yet, so I only knew Hell Yeah and Light It Up, the title track. And then I knew all the stuff off their old album, which they barely played anything off of. So, you know, there was, but I really liked what I heard off the new album, and then of course liked it when I heard it on CD form too. So yeah, Rev Theory, exquisite. And we're also listening to a new Revolution right now. While we're on the topic of awesome frontman,
Joey Duenas is quite possibly the most badass individual I have ever had the great pleasure to watch.
Have you ever been at a concert and a lead singer has crowd surfed kids?
Yeah, that's not what he does.
Because Uncle Andrew's gonna drop some premium octane on you.
Open your knowledge box, because here it comes.
Open your knowledge box. Open your brain tank. Joey Duenas, the lead singer of A New Revolution and previously on Loco. This man does not crowd surf, but at the end of his set, while you're all singing along, he takes a step off the stage and crowd walks.
Motherfucker walked over people.
Walks on crowds.
They held him.
They held him up as though he were a god.
He didn't say anything, no. He just said, I'm doing this, and they held him up.
And it was wonderful.
Oh, so wonderful.
I wish I was one of the people who held him
me
up.
Me too.
Just because I'd be like, oh, Joey Duenas stepped on my hand.
Dodge it. I don't care, it's awesome.
So yeah, on the topic of electrifying frontmen, definitely see A New Revolution live sometime, because they're a killer band, and Joey's a killer frontman, so.
Oh, God.
We have three more awards to pass out, so let's go ahead and jump on the next one. We've got about 20 minutes of show left, because in case I didn't mention, this is a special hour-long edition of Rockcast. Yeah. Hells yeah! So this next award is the most anticipated album of 2009. And 2009 looks to be as good a year as 2008 was, kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to call everyone
right
kids from now
on. I literally sat at my computer for about 10 minutes debating who I was going
to
vote for.
It was really hard to compile the... It was hard enough to compile the list, and then actually voting was a hell of a trial.
I almost cried.
I ended up voting for a band I absolutely knew was not going to win, but but they're my favorite band, so I voted for them anyway.
I did too. And then I felt bad because I voted for my favorite band, but not the other one.
So our nominees for most anticipated 09 album, the first nominee is Red with their upcoming release Innocence and Instinct. We've already heard three songs off the album, and it sounds very, very good.
Oh God.
Then we've got Papa Roach with Metamorphosis coming out next year.
It's going to be awesome.
Again, we've heard one track and a clip of another if you've been keeping up with the world.
Yeah.
Again, top-notch. Sounds like Shaddix all the way.
Awesome Shaddix.
Next nominee is the to-be-announced title, and we've heard absolutely nothing else about it, is Breaking Benjamin's new CD, which again got delayed. The next nominee is Escape Artist by Our Lady Peace, which I personally made sure made the ballot because they're my favorite band, and I'm a dick like that.
It's okay, I did the same thing.
The new single was supposed to be released in early December, and we still haven't heard it.
Very angry about
still
this.
Haven't heard it. I'm talking to you, Our Lady Peace. Give me a single, or I'm going to freaking melt down. And the last one is the to-be-announced concept album of Linkin Park's. So, without further ado, let's get to the results. The runner-up is actually a twofer. Papa Roach and Linkin Park each garnered 19% of the vote.
Yeah.
So you two can cut that one right in half, and Shaddix and Chester can just kind of take their own halves.
And then Shinoda can just go off.
No, then Shinoda gets 1/4 of it because he gets to split Chester's. Yeah.
Shinoda doesn't need another award. He can.
Shinoda's got enough. He's cool.
No, he can bask in his own glory. The fact that he knows he won another one is just.
So of course, with 38% of the vote is Breaking Benjamin. Their to-be-announced release.
Nice.
Because, again, we have a lot of people who like Breaking Benjamin that visit our site, apparently.
Bastards don't understand how awesome this Red album is going to be. Clearly.
So,
clearly.
Breaking Benjamin get... Well, Red didn't even get a runner-up. That's kind of sad.
Yeah,
I know Our Lady Peace only got, like, 3 votes, so if it's any consolation, they didn't get last.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's okay. I know what the best album's going to be next year. I don't need any award to tell me.
Exactly.
So, Breaking Benjamin was the first band ever to gather 2 Rockfest Music Awards. Congrats, guys. This one's a little better than your previous one.
Something about us.
No one wants to win Disappointment of the Year, but I think most anticipated album's a nice step up.
Yeah.
So
you're even now.
Congrats on that one. We, again, eagerly anticipate Breaking Benjamin's new one, but since we've already discussed that, we can talk a little bit about Red, I think. Have we talked about Red a million times before? We haven't talked about Death of Me, though.
No, we haven't.
We've talked about Fight Inside and Never Be the Same, but Death of Me came out in between our podcasts, so...
Yeah.
Let's just say that Death of Me is really good.
Yeah, I mean that's all we can say about it.
Yeah, it's Red.
You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah, and also, look for Death of Me on YouTube.
All three
songs are on YouTube now. And for those interested at christianbook.com, good start. You can actually listen to clips from all of the songs on Innocence and Instinct.
Please note that these are clips and not full versions.
But they're 35-second clips, which is a nice step. Because most clips you get like are 20 seconds or whatever. Yeah, but they all sound very good. I've listened to them. And it sounds like we're in for a real treat. It could actually be better than End of Silence, an act I would have thought near impossible to top. So, their first CD.
Why did I just blank on that?
I don't know. But I'm glad you woke up and figured it out. So, Yeah, I'd check out the clips if you're really eager. Otherwise, you can probably just wait it out and just be rest assured. Rockfist, or at least Andrew, says that you're gonna get something good, probably.
Yeah. Oh, everything probably is 100% grade A.
However, I would reckon, based on past histories, all five of those nominees are gonna come out with some good stuff next year.
Oh yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Again, this is assuming all five actually do release stuff.
Linkin Park's
the big question mark on the list because they've said they're going to try and get it out, but
they're like the Blizzard of the music industry. They put it out when it's done.
Yeah, if all else fails, there's plenty other to tide you over. Mudvayne is actually supposed to have a new one out next year too. Like they're really cranking it. Mm-hmm. There's some other stuff.
Last one sucked ass.
Yeah, there's some other stuff too. I don't recall all of it off the top of my head. Cold. Is reunited, coming out with their presumably final studio album.
Side note, Gwen Stefani is touring with No Doubt.
No Doubt might be coming out with a new album.
Which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that could be really cool.
Hey, baby.
Lots of reunions. Trust Company is back together, working on some new stuff.
Okay.
And there's, of course, a lot of promising new bands. Wake the Light is in the studio, hopefully finally finishing up their debut album.
Faction just put one out.
Faction put out an EP. There might be an album from that next year. But we actually do have a little bit of the inside track on this one. We've heard an album from 2009, and it is by Bulletproof Messenger.
Aha! Yes!
For those of you who aren't aware, Bulletproof Messenger is this absolutely fantastic, very electronic, vibey band.
Think Linkin Park.
They're kind of like Linkin Park meets Trapped
with
some electronics, because the lead singer sounds very much like Chris Brown.
Yeah,
I've heard the comparison everywhere, but there's a lot of really cool, catchy electronic stuff in their songs that really separate them from a lot of other bands. Their 2006 debut, The Crucial Line, is one of my favorite albums. It's very, very good, a great debut album. And in January, their next CD, Arm Yourself, comes out. Those of us who pre-ordered were lucky enough to get the MP3s early, plus they leaked otherwise.
Yeah.
But that CD is absolutely, absolutely going to be smashing good. Smashing good. But yeah, Crucial Line, Arm Yourself, Bulletproof Messenger. Check them out. Definitely check them out. MySpace.com/Bulletproof Messenger. It's very, very fantastic stuff.
If anything, just get Arm Yourself if you don't want to get Crucial Line.
Yeah, and the biggest shock point here is that they are unsigned as of right now.
Which surprised me even.
Yeah.
Because that, and usually I don't, you know.
You listen to them, and they sound very, very well produced. Like, they've got, like, freaking, name like, some big producer guy. Sounds like they've got Rick Rubin or something, you know. So, very, very good sounding band. Very, very good sounding. So, check out Bulletproof Messenger, myspace.com/Bulletproof Messenger.
Good idea.
I think it's time for another award, is it? Probably. I do believe it is, yeah. We've got about 12 minutes to go.
Oh, awesome.
So, we have two awards left. These are the big ones. The big ones. The prestigious awards. Big years down the road will be very important.
The prestigious ones.
This award is, of course, for Newcomer of the Year. For those lucky little bands that put out their debut albums this year, like cute little new bands. We just want to eat them up.
Yeah.
So, these are our favorite newbies and their debut releases. Who?
Are we spelling that E-W-O?
You decide. You, the listener, decide.
You do it.
our nominees for Newcomer of the Year are A New Revolution with their debut album Rise. Again, we mentioned Joey Duenas being outstanding.
Awesome.
Very, very good hard rock, catchy stuff.
Yep.
Jet Black Stare, In This Life. Borderline cock rock. I mean, some of their stuff dwells that way, some of it doesn't. It's very half and half.
Yeah.
So Jet Black Stare, In This Life. Leslie Roy with her CD Unbeautiful.
Surprisingly good.
An unconventional nominee.
A new single.
Did she?
Yeah.
Is it Psycho Bitch? Because I love that song.
It's not Psycho Bitch.
It should be.
What is it? Whatever.
Okay. Well, we both discovered her through Rock Band, so.
Yeah.
Thank Harmonix for us even knowing about her. But
she was on the 23, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A very, very, very good rocker chick. A modern day Stevie Nicks, maybe. Yeah. But her debut album, Unbeautiful. Then we've got Ludo with Your Awful I Love You, perhaps the best album title of the bunch. And cover, even.
Yeah, it's such a weird cover.
Just some very, very quirky little songs.
Well, the story behind them, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think we may have gone over it before when you professed your Ludo love on one of our episodes. But and then finally, Brian Head Welch of Korn with his debut solo album, Save Me From Myself, which, again, surprisingly good. So a lot of surprises in Newcomer of the Year. So let's get right to the winners. The runner-up is Joey Duenas' A New Revolution with 28% of the vote. Good choice by the viewers. And then this was my vote with 35% of the vote. The winner of the first ever Newcomer of the Year award is Jet Black Stare. And I know you're not a huge fan.
But well, I don't like them. It's just they're, like you said, they lean a bit.
Yeah, it's one of those bands that you don't necessarily like, but you recognize are good.
Yeah.
You know? So, Jet Black Stare wins the first ever Newcomer of the Year award. Five very deserving candidates, though, in a year full of good new bands.
Yes.
So, don't feel bad that you didn't win, you other three or four.
Don't worry.
Every single one of those albums are very good, though. All of you should purchase them legally. Support the newbies, because they need your money. So, there's that. We've got about 9 minutes to kill before the end of the show. And,
is that all?
No, there's still the biggie.
Oh, the biggie, okay.
I don't know if I want to announce that right now and just kind of kill the last couple minutes.
No.
Actually, let's go ahead and build up to it and just kind of talk about each album for like a minute or two on the way up. Because this is the biggest award that we've got, obviously.
The most prestigious.
So, album of the year, the biggie. This is the freaking Oscar Academy Award stuff here.
It's funny because coming from you, you know, you hate.
Yeah. Well, the Oscars generally know what they're talking about, but I hate most music award shows, the Grammys and the MTV Music Awards, all that crap. The first nominee for Album of the Year is 10 Years with Division. Let's talk up this one. It's a very. What's the word for an album like this?
Legend. Wait for it.
Dairy. Okay. Mike 5.
Mike 5. Oh, that was terrible.
We'll get over it.
Try it again. We gotta try it again.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. There you go.
Nice. Okay. It's kind of just a very epic, very, very... Give me a word.
Grandois?
Grandois.
Don't even... I really don't think that's a word.
Just a very grand album.
Yeah.
Just very epic.
It's
good stuff. It's kind of dark.
If you know what the word awk means, it truly isn't epic.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
So, 10 Years with Division. Then we've got the next nominee is Amber Lynn with New Surrender. And you came to like this band more than you used to, I guess, throughout the course of the world, which is
not
good.
A whole lot, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, just very, very catchy stuff.
Yeah,
it's creatively catchy though. It's not like your just typical pop.
Yeah.
Sensation stuff, but it's every song's got its unique, fun vibe to it.
For some reason, every time I think about that band, I think performance.
That's kind of weird.
I really don't know why.
Next on the list, and this is purely my doing, obviously, is Guns N' Roses with Chinese Democracy. Again, it's not Appetite, but it's very good in its own way. Just, you have to listen to it. It's going to be hit or miss. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. It's not a middle ground album.
No.
Rev Theory with Light It Up, the 10-track wonder. Again, we've talked this up. It's just solid hard rock with some nice ballady stuff in between.
Not even on the roster, out of nowhere. That's a Cinderella.
And the last nominee for Album of the Year is Shine Down with the Sound of Madness, which we have failed to talk about almost the entire show. We kind of mentioned
which
Second
is surprising.
Chance. But here's the deal with Sound of Madness. If there's any more complete album out right now, I can't think of it.
Yeah.
We both voted for this album to win. Mm-hmm. It's so good, even the bonus tracks are outstanding.
Yeah.
The Energy, I Own You, and Son of Sam are the three bonus tracks off the album, and they are phenomenal. They just don't quite fit the vibe of the album, I think, and that might be why they didn't make it. But they're even sensational. They're some of the best B-sides I've heard in years.
Oh, God.
So, let's jump the winner here,
okay.
Maybe. We got about 6 minutes, so...
yeah, I guess we can do.
Just build up a little hype. I need like a drum roll in here.
Just
hit something with the mic a couple hundred times. Yeah, it sounds good. I bet they like that. Oh yeah, that's good. That's good stuff. All right, the runner-up for Album of the Year with 20% of the vote is 10 Years with Division. Again, it's a very epic album. I think we'd probably agree this is the second best album of the batch.
Yeah.
So, you know. Makes sense for runner-up, but then the winner of the first ever Album of the Year award, and they actually garnered the largest percentage of votes in any category. So this is not just me and Jake here. This is the world.
That's like
we gathered about 30 votes for every category.
Okay. So it's the world then.
The world, all 30 people in the world.
Yes.
So with 62% of the vote, The first ever winner of Album of the Year Award is Shinedown with The Sound of Madness. And this is exactly how I would have wanted it to pan out. Like, yes. I don't care about how any of the other awards turned out, if I voted for that or whatnot. This is easily the most deserved award, I think. Shinedown really came out of nowhere with this, because I wasn't anticipating this album much at all. Because Us and Them was very, very disappointing. Leave a Whisper is phenomenal, their first CD. I think that might have won Newcomer in the War, Newcomer of the Year back in the day. Because Leave a Whisper is very, very good. Still listen to it a lot. But Us and Them was kind of a downstep. Felt like an album where they were experimenting a little too much, you know, just trying a lot of different sounds.
The opener to it, that poem with the little kitten, that's just creepy.
Kind of, yeah, it's really disturbing, even.
Yeah.
But, it all kind of makes sense now. It feels like all the experimenting they did with Us and Them kind of just came together, and we got Sound of Madness, which from top to bottom is absolutely perfect. I gave it a 10 in my review.
One of the few things that actually deserve a 10.
Absolutely. Probably the only one.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I've given anything else a 10. And I think about that very carefully. But you start with the opener, Devour, which is just, you know, heart-poundingly exciting start-finish.
What was it?
Devour, just kind of like your, you know, anthem kind of thing. Then you've got
demolishes you.
Track 2 is Sound of Madness, the title track.
Picks you up and flies you in your face.
Yeah, it's a very invigorating track. Like, it's just kind of like, the pacing's just kind of,
it is.
The pacing is there. Just whatever.
Also, Brent Smith announces that he created the Sound of Madness.
He's an author,
apparently. He wrote the book on Pink.
You're actually listening to the closing song now for our first ever award show, which is Second Chance by Shinedown.
Good choice.
The other two award winner of this particular batch of music awards, Shinedown and Breaking Benjamin, carry that honor together. Two bands that very much deserve it. Let's just run down Sound of Madness a little bit. You know, I feel like we should talk the entire album just for a minute or two.
Yeah.
Next track is Second Chance, we went over. Just a very, very good song. You've got Cry for Help after that, which is in the same vein as Devour. Just a really high.
I think it's in the same vein as Devour, but it's a little bit more forgettable.
Yeah. Cry for Help is probably the weakest track on the album, and that's saying something, because it's a really good song, but
that song itself probably rates about a 9.5.
Yeah. After that, you've got The Crow and the Butterfly, which I think is... It feels like it's the end result of Lady So Divine, that really epic track they had in Us and Them. It feels like they took all of the feel of that and then just compressed it, which was really what was so wrong with Lady So Divine. It was just too long. Yeah. It felt unnecessary. So it feels like they just took all that and put it exactly as it needed to be and rewrote it as The Crow and the Butterfly. And it's a very, very good song. That was originally my vote for Song of the Year before we changed it to Second Chance. After that, you've got If You Only Knew, which is the first, which is another one of the big ballads on the album. Sin with a Grin follows that. Your next high pace, driving down the highway at 10 million miles an hour. Just go, 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 go. Very angry rock.
Yeah.
What a Shame follows that. And the album is kind of getting into the pattern of the slow song, fast song, slow song, fast song. What a Shame.
Worse.
Yeah, What a Shame is another one of those songs like Another Heart Calls we were talking about earlier, which is very progressive. It starts out very, very slow, just Brent Smith and the guitar going. Yeah, and by the end of it, it's just he's singing very powerfully.
Yeah.
That's one big thing about this album. Brent Smith sings fantastically. Then you've got Cyanide, Sweet Tooth, Suicide, which I feel like is Sin with a Grin's partner in crime, and that they're both just the Blaze Down the Highway songs. Breaking Inside follows that, which is like the mid-tempo song, I feel like. It's kind of like, kind of fast, kind of slow.
The rest between the silence.
Breaking Inside. And then Call Me.
No, Call Me. It's like the breaking.
Yeah, the closer is Call Me, which is the slowest song on the album, I think. And just a very touching kind of song.
Which works, because if you went to Call Me,
yeah, I think Breaking Inside serves as the perfect progression between the two. And then that's the entire album. And then if you're smart, you got all the bonus tracks, which is Son of Sam, Energy, and I Own You, which are just three very, very electrifying rockitude anthems.
Rockitude.
They'll really pump you up. So, you know, usually we do recommendations at the end of the show, but we're running out of time. So here's our recommendation, I think. Sound of Madness by Shinedown.
Yeah,
what do you say?
There you go. Pick it up.
Pick up The Sound of Madness by Shinedown. If you haven't already, it's the best album of the year, voted so by you, the fans.
Yeah.
exactly. You guys said it was.
So, with that in mind, we hope you enjoyed the first ever Rockfest Music Awards and Rockcast Episode 10. This is Andrew.
This is Jake.
Have a good one.